There's a part of me wants to do an instant self-justification here by drawing your attention to the very words of the gospel. He addressed them at length. But that's not my theme for today. Rather, there's a part of me that wants to go back to the land of Oz. And those who were here, I believe it was on Trinity Sunday, may recall that we, figuratively speaking, went back to Oz with Dorothy and her companions, as on Trinity Sunday we were searching to understand what God is really like, who God really is. You'll recall I invited you to be with them in spirit as they entered the great temple of Oz, where there was fire and smoke and sound of thunder and the frightening voice coming from that horrible, huge, green-colored face saying, "I am Oz, stand back, how dare you?" And then recall the little dog pulled the curtain back and it turned out this version of Oz was but a mirage. And Oz was really a lovable old man playing the instruments behind the curtain. I suggested to you then that we catch a glimpse of God, perhaps only a glimpse, by reflecting on the way in which people fashion their gods to suit their moods, how they fashion God to be what they think God ought to be. And some people, ironically, are not comfortable with a gentle, loving, forgiving God, such as Yahweh proclaimed himself that day in his words to Moses to carry to the people. Remember, he said, "Tell them I am tender and compassionate and slow to anger." But some people can't deal with such a personal, intimate God as that. They'd rather a God at a distance, full of fire and threat and warning, who deals with them through rules and regulations and drawing lines and keeping them within the lines through fear. Well, in today's liturgy, God speaks again. And in this liturgy, this same mysterious God, who is so often fashioned in very strange ways, not by the power of his word, but by the intrusion of people's needs and prejudices and biases, this same God tries again to speak to us and reveal the nature of his love, of his life, of his very being to his people. But as Jesus warns us in the gospel, only those who are really, really listening, and only those who really, really dare to look for the deeper meaning in the events of their lives, only these will truly hear God and see his divine hand at work in the events of their lives. And so we must begin in a spirit of humility, admitting before God that we have not always been open to his word. Indeed, we have sometimes, with countless words, fashioned a God image that not only does not help people to draw near, but puts obstacles between them and the compassionate, tender, loving, motherly, fatherly God who is. In today's liturgy, in the scripture readings that have been proclaimed before us, if we have even just the tiniest touch of the poet in us, surely we delight in those words from Isaiah that God speaks through the gentle rain which comes down and nourishes the earth and brings forth new life, summer flowers, and food for the people to sate their hunger. This is a very easy picture of God to accept and to embrace. The God of gentle, life-giving rain. But as Ed Kelly and I yesterday afternoon were reflecting together our homily thoughts, did not God speak again with a terrible storm of rain and thunder and lightning? I said to Ed, "Isn't it marvelous?" And he said, "Marvelous? It scares me." God does not always speak through gentle rain and lovely landscapes and summer sunsets. The same God speaks through tornado and earthquake, through cataclysms of creation. So it can be awfully hard to hear, to see, to even catch a true glimpse of this God. But today's celebration reminds us it is our lifelong task to attune our ears, to open our hearts over and over again, to hear God as God speaks, not as men and women would fashion God to speak to their preconceived notions. In the readings of today, clearly God speaks of life-giving and the gentle gifts of creation. But in the second reading, Paul told the Romans, as the church invites him now to tell us, all creation is in travail, groaning and struggling to be what God designed it to be. Oh, what a confusing God is this. The God of sunshine and life-giving rain. The God of terrible thunder and lightning and breaches in the very face of the earth. Jesus knew well and proclaimed to his apostles that through the ages, many will pretend to see or only look for as long as they can stand it and then shut out the full meaning of the vision of God in the wonders of creation and in the events of their lives at their moment in this unfolding creation. Please God, the people who've gathered here today to carry the book of his word with reverence to this holy place, to proclaim it with alleluias, to sit and listen and hope that that word would become more clear. Please God, the word will become a little more clear. But those of experience know, never so clear that the message is complete. Never so easy to understand that we may now turn ourselves to other tasks. The struggle goes on to find the deeper meaning in the Word of God, as God speaks not only through Scripture, but even more often, and perhaps more confusingly still, through the events and the misadventures of our individual and collective lives. One might say, in reflecting on this, God's word is sure. Sometimes gentle like the rain, sometimes terrible and frightening like fire and sword, but always sure, yet almost never entirely clear and easy to comprehend. We must labor to have ears that really hear. We must be forever struggling to see his hand at work in our lives and to respond to his word with courage and daring and by our whole disposition, an invitation in effect to say to God, speak again, your servant listens. I demonstrate, if I may, examples of how God is, according to his promise, always speaking, but people, even good and caring and faithful people, can be at a terrible struggle to catch the meaning of his words in the events. Many of us have lived through several periods of our lives, and a period even continuing, when we all know that God speaks through Jesus, saying, when the enemy comes and strikes you on the face, turn the other cheek. We know that it's God's word that says, love your enemies, do good to them that persecute you. But we know as well it is God who speaks through the words of Jesus when he says, and those who do not have swords, go get them. And so, in a community of faithful, loving people like us, there can be some as deeply convinced that the carrying out of God's word, the defense of justice and the rights of the people, can only be achieved through means of arms, while some of their own sisters and brothers will be calling them to lay down all arms and trust in the mercy of the Lord. Whether pacifist or militarist, anybody who says the answer is simple thereby proclaims himself or herself a fool. It's never been easy. Never been easy for God's people to sort that out. When is some kind of anger and violent action justified as a response to the violence of events and the evil deeds of others? Many who were themselves outstanding pacifists when the issue was Vietnam have now become defenders of liberation theology and the theory, at least, that the poor and oppressed have the right, in the name of Jesus, to take up the sword to assert their rights before their oppressors. These days, especially for those of us who live in this metropolitan area, what a painful, painful struggle we are sharing in the sad unfolding trial of Mayor Barry. And as recently as this morning's papers, it spells out what most of us already know. There is an opening up, an uncovering of tensions and disagreements among us we might rather have pretended we'd left behind. There are white people who think the issues are simple, if I may play with the word, just black and white, and do not understand the pain and the hurting, the frustration and the anger in the hearts of black people who have worked all their lives to create families in which all of the traditional values are celebrated and affirmed. Many white people are not sensitive enough to see God at work in the hearts of their neighbors. They think the answers are so simple, and it works both ways. I do believe that many of us who are black do not take the time to try to understand the struggle that confronts those who are white but want to be of one great family as they see this and other signs of the tension in our society unfolding and being laid bare. We went back for a moment to the land of Oz to be once again in the company of Dorothy, whose name, by the way, in case you don't know it, from the Greek means gift of God. And it was through Dorothy in that fantasy tale that people were able to discover the answers are within them. In the world of today, women blessed by God and touched by the Holy Spirit time and time again are speaking to the great community of God's people words of truth, sometimes painful, confrontational words of truth, and they are being dismissed as having no right to speak in the assembly. To this day, those who see themselves as the primary caretakers and interpreters of the word read the scripture and find their justification to exclude women from the full ministry of the church, and others, at least equally sincere, read the same word and scratch their heads wondering how did they get that interpretation from the words of the Lord. It is a time of great struggle. It is a time, as always, of great tension among God's people trying to find out just what is God saying. It is a time this morning to admit together that we do not know always, and we never know with comfortable certainty what that holy word of God means to the last detail in any event of our lives, except that however we get there, the final conclusion will always be God is love. God is author of all that exists, and God does send his word into our midst to touch our hearts, to touch our ears, to open our eyes, to see the presence of God in the sometimes terrible and frightening and confusing events of our lives. We need the reassurance of the inability to have absolute assurance that comes in the words of Paul to the Romans. How timely they are for people such as us At this moment in creation, when we, more than any of our forebears, have the power in our hands, the creativity in our minds and imaginations to work with creation and make it do things we never dreamed of before. We, the people of an age in the history of the world, who have seen atomic power come to be and seen it used for marvelous consequences, even at the same time it is used to destroy cities and wipe away thousands of people, how well, much we, the people of this moment in history, need to hear again the words of Paul as he exhorted the Romans, as I now exhort you, to believe this for sure, that God is always speaking, no matter how difficult it is for you, no matter how near impossible for you to be sure exactly what God is saying. Know that God is always speaking, and we are always bound to be searching ever more deeply to find the meaning of his words. Creation itself was made subject to futility, not of its own accord, but by him who once subjected it, yet not without hope, because the world itself will be freed from its slavery to corruption and share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. Yes, we know that all creation groans and is in agony even until now. Not only that, but we ourselves, although we already have the Spirit as first fruits, we ourselves groan inwardly while we await the full redemption of our bodies. Let that groaning and that searching and that struggling in the midst of creation be always a prayer to God. Let my heart, my mind, my ears, my whole being, O God, be open to the saving power of your so often confusing word.